So let's review. Our Gemara began at the bottom of the previous Amud. Amar Rav Yehuda, Shachach v'hechnes oichel n'teich piv b'loi bracha. What to do if someone put food or drink in his mouth but forgot to make a bracha beforehand? The Gemara quotes three brises which give three different halachas for such an occurrence and explains how each of these brises refers to a different case. If someone put solid food in his mouth and it was a kind of food that didn't become immediately disgusting, say a hard candy, then we say poltan, he should take it out of his mouth and then say the bracha. If it was the type of food that would be considered disgusting if he were to take it out of his mouth, then Rabbi Yehuda says that misalkun letzad echad mevarch, and he should hold it in his cheek while saying the bracha. If, however, it was a liquid, then neither of these options is available, and he just swallows it without a bracha. The above rulings are based on the understanding of a pasuk in Tehillim, yimalei pi tilasecha, that while praising Hashem, one should not have anything else in his mouth other than Hashem's praises. B'oim minim Rav Chisda. The Gemara then tells us that Rav Chisda was asked about someone who accidentally began eating without a bracha and now wants to continue to eat some more. Rav Chisda said that in that case, of course he has to make a bracha before continuing to eat. Eating further without a bracha would only compound the avera. I'm Ravina. The Gemara tells us that Ravina wanted to extrapolate from here, that if someone finished eating altogether without having made a bracha, he should make the bracha then at the end of the meal. He draws an analogy to someone immersing himself in a mikveh, where the halacha is that he says the bracha after the immersion. The Gemara, however, rejects Ravina's analogy. In the case of immersion, mi'ikara gavra lechazilei, he generally was not fit to make the bracha before he immersed, since most likely he's tummy. In the case of eating, on the other hand, mi'ikara gavra chazilei, he really was able to make a bracha beforehand, and since he failed to do so, he cannot make it up after he's finished eating. The Gemara continues, Tan Rabban. Asparagus, yafel alev, v'toiv l'nayim. The Gemara digresses a bit and begins an extended discussion about asparagus, which was a kind of beverage concocted from wine or beer mixed with cabbage, and cites numerous brises that discusses the various health benefits and drawbacks of this beverage. The Gemara then cites another brise which says, Shisha dvarim nemar b'asparagus. Six things were said in reference to asparagus. Ein shoysen oysoy elik shuchayim mole. One should not drink it unless it is undiluted and only in a full cup. Mekabli b'yamin v'shasei b'smoil. One receives the cup with his right hand and drinks it with his left. V'ein masichin acharav v'ein mafsikin boy. One should not speak nor interrupt while drinking it. V'ein machzirin oysoy el mishanasnaloy. And one should not return the empty cup to anyone other than the one who originally gave it to him. V'rak acharav. And one should spit out the leftover saliva from his mouth after he finishes drinking the asparagus. And ve'in simcha noise el b'minoi. In order to avoid any bad after effects, he should supplement the asparagus with a food of a similar kind, meaning that if it was made out of a fig beer, he should eat some figs. If it was made from date beer, then he should now eat dates. Having mentioned that one should not return the empty asparagus cup to anyone other than the one who originally gave it to him, the Gemara now quotes Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who says that one of the three things Shloisha Dvarim Sakhli Surreal Sarpanim taught him was that this is indeed so, because a group of Malachi Chavala, demons or angels of affliction, wait for him, the person who ate the asparagus, and say, when will a person do one of these practices and become ensnared by us? After the Gemara discusses various other practices which are dangerous because they render a person vulnerable to demons, it returns to discuss the halachas of the Suda. Amar Reb Zeir, Amar Reb Vo, and others say it was a Baraisa, Asar Dvarim Nemar B'Keshel Bracha, that there are 10 things that are required in the Keshel Bracha, a cup of wine over which a bracha such as Berachas HaMazon is said. These 10 requirements are 1. Hadacha, washing. 2. Shti, for rinsing. 3. Chai. Rashi gives two meanings for chai. Either undiluted, meaning that he first puts the undiluted wine into the cup and then dilutes it while it's in the cup. Or fresh, meaning that he takes the wine for the Keshel Bracha fresh out of the barrel. 4. Mole, full to the top with wine. 5. Iter, crowned or encircled. 6 is ituf, his head should be covered. 7 is noitli b'shtei yadav, the cup should be taken with two hands. 8 is v'neisnei b'yamin, and he then places it in his right hand. 9 is magbi'a tefach, raised it up a tefach. And 10 is neisnei enav boy, he should gaze at the cup while saying the bracha so as not to be distracted from it. The Gemara then says that there is an opinion that adds an 11th requirement. Mishagrei li'anshei beisai. He should send a portion of the wine in the cup to his wife so that she should be blessed by having drunk from the Keshel Bracha. The Gemara elaborates on each of these requirements. Regarding the first two, Hadacha and Shtifa, the Gemara explains that Hadacha means washing the cup on the inside, and Shtifa means washing it on the outside. The Shulchan Aruch adds that if the cup is clean, then neither Hadacha or Shtifa are really necessary. Iter means crowned or encircled. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda would surround himself with students when he said the brach of a cup of wine, or Rav Chisda would surround the cup of wine with other cups of wine. The Gemara adds that those other cups were filled with raw wine as the second bracha of Birchas Hamazon was begun. That bracha speaks in praise of Eretz Yisrael, part of whose bounty is wine. As for Ituf, covering one's head, the Gemara says that Rav Papa would cover his head with his talus, while Rav Asi put on a scarf. In contemporary terms, the Torah writes that Ituf means that one shouldn't be bareheaded when he makes the bracha. But Beisesef objects that no bracha should be said bareheaded, and the special halacha of Ituf by Keshel Bracha means more, that one should wear a hat for this bracha. Regarding Mishagri Lanshe Beisle sending some of the wine to his wife, the Gemara later says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that even if just the husband drinks from the wine, his wife also shares in the blessing. Although the Braisa requires 10 or perhaps 11 things for Keshel Bracha, Rabbi Yochanan says that we only require 4, namely, Hadacha and Shtifa, washing and rinsing, Chai, we saw earlier 2 explanations in Rashi B'chai, either that the raw wine should be poured in the cup first and then diluted, or that fresh wine should be taken from the barrel, and Mole, the cup should be full. The simple meaning of this is that Rabbi Yochanan rejects the other 6 or 7 requirements altogether, and that's how the Rambam rules. However, Tosis, as explained by the Rosh and the Tur, say that Rabbi Yochanan is only rejecting the 5th and the 6th requirements of Iter and Ituf, crowning the cup with students or with other cups, and covering one's head. But he accepts all the other requirements. The Torah writes that our practice is to observe all of these requirements, except for Iter crowning. Continuing on the Yamid Beis, the Gemara says that once the kais is lifted in readiness to say the bracha, he shouldn't talk. The Gemara also says that we don't use a kaisel peronius, a cup of misfortune, for a kaisel bracha. This has to do with the concept of zugais, the idea that drinking an even number of cups of wine at a meal is dangerous. The kaisel bracha should not be the second cup of wine that he drinks at the meal, because 2 is an even number. Beis Yosef comments that it's not our practice to avoid zugais, and this halacha does not apply nowadays. Finally, the Gemara tells us that Rebbe Vod taught that after eating, one should prepare for Birchas Hamazon by adopting a posture which raises one's level of concentration. If he was eating while walking, he should stand still for Birchas Hamazon. If he ate while standing, he should sit. And if he ate while reclining, he should sit up for Birchas Hamazon. However, the Gemara at the conclusion of the 7th parak says, V'hilchasa b'kulu yeshe mevarach, that in all cases one should sit for Birchas Hamazon. With this, we concluded the 7th parak of Shloisha Ochlu, and we began the new parak of Eil Dvarim. Zok the Mishnah. Eil Dvarim shebein Beishamai lebeishil besuda. Our Mishnah at the beginning of this parak presents about 8 machlikas between Beishamai and Beishil regarding the halachas of a meal. First, Beishamai says, mevarach alayoyim v'achakech mevarach alayayin, that when you say Kiddush, you first say the bracha on the day, that is the bracha Mekadosh HaShabbos, and then the bracha by Perek Ofen. But Beis Hillel say that Mevarach Aliyayin V'achakach Mevarach Aliyayin, that by Perek Ofen comes first. Second, Beis Shammai say that when you have wine before the meal, Noitin Liyadayim V'achakach Moizgin HaSakais, you first wash until Tehillas Yadayim, and then prepare and drink the wine. While Beis Hillel say that Moizgin HaSakais V'achakach Noitin Liyadayim, that you have the wine first, and then you wash until Tehillas Yadayim right before the meal itself. Third, Beis Shammai say that mekaneich yodeh b'mape u'maneich al ha'shulchan, that the napkin that you use to dry your hands from the Tehillas Yadayim should then be placed on the table, while Beis Hillel say that al ha'ksus, it should be placed beside you on the bench. Fourth, after the meal, Beis Shammai said that mechabdin es habayis v'achakech noitin liyadayim, we first clear away the crumbs and then bench, but Beis Hillel say that noitin liyadayim v'achakech mechabdin es habayis, to bench first. Fifth, if you're saying Havdalah after Shabbos, and you only have 1 cup of wine, which you're using both for Havdalah and for benching, then Beis Shammai say that the order of the brachas is Ne'er u'mazon, b'samim v'havdalah, while according to Beis Hillel, the order is Ne'er u'b'samim, mazon v'havdalah. In other words, according to the Beis Shammai, the bracha on the b'samim comes after benching, while according to Beis Hillel, the bracha on the b'samim comes before benching. 6, they differ over the text of the bracha on fire. Beis Shammai say Boir ma'oy ha'esh, while Beis Hillel say that it is Boir ma'oy ha'esh. The Mishnah also mentions several other halachas regarding the besamim and fire for Havdalah. They can't come from a goy, from a mess, or from avodah zarah. Also, you don't make a bracha on the fire until benefit is derived from its illumination. The 7th dispute concerns shachach v'loy berach, someone who forgot to bench and left. B'Shamay say that Yachzlam Kami Vivarch, he has to return to the place where he ate in order to bench there. And B'Shol say that no, Yivarch B'Makam Shaniska, he can bench wherever he is. V'Ad Masim Mivarch, and until when may he bench? As long as the meal is not fully digested. The eighth machlekes is in the case where wine was brought at the end of the meal. B'Shamay said that he should say the bracha on the wine and then bench. B'Shol say that no, that he benches first. The next two blot will explain the details of these machlekes.